Blog Talk Radio.
Ooh-ay-yo. Mm-hmm. Ooh-ay-yo. Mm-hmm. Ooh-ay-yo. Mm-hmm. Ooh-ay-yo. Mm-hmm.
I've been walking.
Mm-hmm. Ooh-ay-yo.
With my face turned to
stars fill the night.
That's why I wanna
stand up,
take my people
with me.
Together we are
going
to a
brand new home far across the river.
Can you hear
freedom calling, calling me to enter?
Gotta keep on
keeping on. I can feel it in my bones.
And I know what's around the bend might be hard to face, 'cause I'm alone and I just might fail. But Lord knows I tried. Sure as
stars fill up the sky,
stand up, take my people with me.
Together we
greetings, greetings, peace and power, Black family, you African warrior citizens. I want to thank everybody for joining us tonight. Welcome, come on into the building, the Truth and Power Corner. I'd like to welcome you all. We have a fabulous show scheduled for us tonight. If you would like to join in, please call in at 516-387-1549 and join us. Let me handle a little housekeeping in, and then I'm going to introduce our special guest, and we're going to start the show. So first and always, I want to salute our political prisoners and our POWs and elder comrades. Y'all, our outrage is not loud enough. They letting them out of prison now while they're sickly and dying and have illnesses that they are still murdering and torturing our comrades. And our outrage is not being heard because it's not loud enough. We need to do more. We need to do more, family. Salute to all our Black media platforms, our sisters and brothers, and our grassroots organizations that are out here doing this work, bringing us this truth and power and knowledge. I want to thank you all and continue the work that you are doing. I want to say salute to Brother Noble and Sister Monique and our family in Stonecrest, Georgia, and Denver, Colorado. With Unity Community News, right now we are regrouping, revamping, and rebuilding. We will be back on the air soon, so please stay tuned and check us out. Salute to the Republic of New Africa, Madam President Samayat, Vice President Mama Ayo, and our Black officials, ministers, ministries, delegates, and citizens of our Black nation. Free the land. Come support our new African nation. Visit our website at pg-rna.com. And like I say, always saluting all black people that are working for the nation building and contributing to the nation building of our African nation. All right, let's get started. I am very excited about tonight. I have one of my special sister queens coming on tonight. We're going to open up the line and get her introduced to the show so we can get started. I would like to introduce our sister queen, Annika. How are you doing today, sis? How are you doing?
Sis, I'm feeling so good, you know, despite, you know, whatever gets thrown my way a lot of times, I have to really give myself credit, you know, like I have to, got to keep pushing, especially in these times that, you know, especially what you just said.
Exactly. I say this, it's a lot of stuff going on. People don't understand. We don't have time for no more games. It's time to be focused and about the nation building. Like I said, I want to thank you for joining us tonight. Thank you so very much for taking out your busy schedule. How are those babies doing tonight?
I truly appreciate you for being able to schedule me, sis. Like, I'm telling you, like, I'm just as much as, you know, appreciative.
Thank you. And first off, we want you to give us a little of your background, your childhood, what makes you this powerful, independent, confident black queen that you are. You are so, like they say, you are so beautiful to me. You know what I'm saying?
Reflection.
Tell us where you come from, Sister Queen. You know what I'm saying? Tell us about you.
So, Annika Annette, I am from the east side of Winston-Salem, North Carolina, particularly known as the Island. And we call it the Island because a lot of times, like, this is where, you know, our people predominantly black, and, well, you know, there is some Hispanics there as well, but historically the Island is known for, you know, its extreme innovation from black scholars, you know what I'm saying? And it's just so rich in culture that a lot of times we need to learn how to bar off the Island to preserve its uniqueness, its autonomy. Like, this is why we call it the Island.
So it's rich in African and indigenous culture?
Yes.
Okay.
Like, for an example, I don't know if you ever heard of the Safe Bus Company. It was a bus company. Mm-hmm.
S-A-F-E?
Yes. Yep. Safe Bus Company. There were about, and I might say, I might give a wrong number, but it was double digits. It was probably like 11 or 13 black men that came together, that put their money together, and they actually came up with their own bus company. And it was for strictly the east side of Winston because it was a lot of stuff going on, you know, Jim Crow around that time. This happened in 1923. So it was a lot going on as far as transportation, you know what I'm saying, sis. And they had to provide our own routes for our people because we just, you know, we weren't getting there. And a lot of, let me see what else, Black Panther Party. I'm trying to think of everything at one time. That's why I'm kind of like, I'm getting hyped because I get really excited about this stuff.
Hey, that's all right.
Black Panther Party.
Hey, just calm down and just tell us about it.
The Black Panther Party was very prevalent in the community as well, with the ambulance program, the free ambulance program, and the free breakfast program. There were so many things, sis, I really can't even begin to just explain all of it. It's a lot of culture over here on the east side.
Excuse.
You're fine, sis. But right now, the way that East Winston is looking, you know, it has kind of been, I call it the culture. Wait a minute, let me see. The name right now, it's going to come to me in mid-conversation. I know it is. But, right, culture destabilization. Culture destabilization is where, you know, they come in strategically a lot of times through, like, this political way and taking away our rec centers, you know, the access of getting to the rec centers, you know, just the overall property value. I mean, it has literally just, it looks the same from back in the day on in East Winston. Uneven pavements, you know what I'm saying? And it's a lot of drug usage around here. It's a lot of stuff going on around here. But, you know, the one beautiful thing about East Winston is that our culture has never left. We are, sometimes we become disconnected from it, but it's always there. We got a lot of colonists swarming around East Winston, you know, attracted to the houses, the undervalued houses that, that now they want to touch and flip and, you know, make it, you know, about 100,000. And I mean, it's getting real serious.
Gentrification. That's all they're doing.
Absolutely. Right, right, right. It's definitely colonization. Like, I'm starting to look at it as like straight colonization. Like I'm looking, it was something I seen that kind of challenged my perspective about gentrification versus colonization. And it's like still all the same.
Yeah, basically, really. Because they all want to keep your nationalistic hellhole, you know what I'm saying? Killing each other, killing yourself, working daily. Killing yourself just by living here, you know what I'm saying? And foods and different things like that. So that's another thing I want you to give me your perspective on, like these wild and crazy things that keep going on around this world, where these animals dropping dead, these people acting crazy, Karens and Kens out of control, the pigs lost their goddamn gone mind. They shoot at a unarmed boy 120 times. But they took in custody of many folks that shoot. Man, I don't understand it, but I want to get your perspective on it though.
Absolutely, it is a lot of it's a lot of craziness going on in the world, like everywhere. And I feel like, you know, this has been projected. You know, this was prematurely projected that like these times, like this, all of the stuff would be happening because it's happened before. And it's really just like, you know, it's time to really understand, because a lot of people don't understand, you know what I'm saying, how to direct that focus to what really matters, because it is a lot of stuff going on out here that could drive us crazy, you know what I'm saying? Like, we don't know where to look at, we don't know where to turn, we don't know follow, we don't know who our leaders are anymore. But as soon as we learn how to redirect our focus back on who our enemy is and what we need to do to, you know, make our enemies obsolete, like that's, we're going to keep being in disarray unless we really learn how to do that for real. Because I'm not like, I ain't going to be funny. Like, I don't really be, I pay attention to what go on. Like, I ain't trying to be unaware, but like a lot of stuff, like, I don't even engage in the topics because it throws me off from staying focused on what I need to stay focused on.
Exactly. Exactly. Like they said, like they drag drama and booze. You know what I'm saying? I don't have time to totally understand. Mm-hmm. You know, I just like to always get everybody's perspective on that. I want you to tell us what got you started as a civic engagement coordinator in East Winston. Now, I saw where you say it's not the activism, it's the realism, right? So explain this to us. You know what I'm saying?
So about, now I'm from East Winston. I haven't stayed here
Like, I didn't stay here after I moved from East Winston when I was in seventh grade. And my mom worked really, really hard to move us out the hood. And that is what she did. And I actually, about 2017, I basically, like, threw myself back into the struggle. Like, I threw myself purposely. I didn't, naturally, I knew this is what I wanted to do because I had to sacrifice. But I threw myself back in the struggle and moved back to East Winston to be able to start training to, you know, follow my purpose. And from that point, you know, I did, you know, I was being called an activist, you know, because I started coming on Martin Luther King Jr. That's a main road in East Winston that goes from, it goes all the way to what we call the south side of Winston. And it's a popular road. Everybody, you know, you got that road where everybody likes to come and show out, pop they willies, you know what I'm saying? Like, and I had started making some real broad statements on signs. I was working at the post office at this time, so I was literally like, I was calling out of work because I was like, I'm tired of this job. This is what I want to do. So at that point, I was being called an activist. But through the times of me training and really getting to learn myself and learn the people around me all over again, I started just the act part of activist just kind of bothered me because I'm like, none of this shit is an act. Like, this shit is real life. Like, this is real over here. And because you got all these organizations, you know, they'll say, oh, yes, we wanna do this and that for the black community, you know. But a lot of times, any other time outside of being on that clock, they scared as hell of us. So that, to me, you know, when you start seeing white-led organizations and even some black-led organizations that's just out of touch, when they call themselves an activist, you know, I was like, yeah, y'all be acting. That's so at that point, I'm like, I had to set myself apart from that. Like, this is realism. This is realism. This is as real as it gets over here. You can't fake this.
I say, I can feel you on it. I can totally feel you because life ain't playing with nobody out here. And that's why I keep telling people that, you know, you still be here for a purpose and you don't have time to play no game. And I can feel you on it being real. I can feel you on it.
Right, you can't be playing about being in the trenches. You can't play about stuff like that because we know, like, because we there. So we know if you lying or not.
Exactly. And don't have time for no games, period. And I'm very, very, very interested in finding out how you started the Asiatic Artifacts Used Bookstore and Think Tank. I love that. I love what you are doing with that right there. So tell us how you got started and tell us about your bookstore.
Okay, so let's see, last year in March, in April, it was April 20th, and I opened up a bookstore and think tank inside. First, I started out in Herb's Bargains. Herb's Bargains is on the island as well. Herb is a legendary in our community. He has had a mom and pop store that's been on the corner of First and Jackson for like the last 50, 60 years. He's the last black-owned mom and pop store that hadn't sold his building out. He completely owns it. I mean, it's amazing up there. But I put my bookstore in there, and, you know, I just kind of had to, like, build it because at first, you know, I didn't kind of really know which way I wanted to go with it, you know what I'm saying? And I started really having a great impact, you know. A lot of shout out to everybody that, you know, really came through. Like, I really hate to say I was surprised, you know what I'm saying, because I can't really be too surprised of our people. Like, our people are just so, you know, magical. And I mean, people was just really coming to support. People that didn't read or, you know, never really, like, challenged themselves to start back reading, you know, these people starting to show up and stuff. So that was just very motivating to me. And not too long after I was in Herb, so maybe about 6 months, I moved to another black-owned store by the name of Other Sons. And it's owned by Hazel Mack. And Ms. Hazel Mack is basically she's a Black Panther. She was a Black Panther here in Winston-Salem, and her business is actually on the island as well, across Martin Luther King. So it's just been growing, and now I'm about to start actually kicking it back off in the next, really the next couple of weeks. And I'm going to relaunch, do a relaunch, and open it back up with some surprises. I ain't going to spoil it right now, but, yeah, I'm trying to start that knowledge of self because that's what our community really needs.
Yes, exactly, most definitely. But I want to learn because I'm like I said, I'm gonna get with you, you know, us one on one, because I was thinking about you know, migrating back to the territory, to Mississippi, and opening up a bookstore there in Cafe. So I really about, you know, talk to you about this, because I feel like in our neighborhoods, we need to start putting clinics and different things like that, schools and different things in our Black communities, and building these communities up while we got the chance. You know, understand right now. That's another thing. I want you to give us some updates on BRAP. What's going on with them right now?
BRAP. BRAP means Black, Brown, Radical Roots, Agricultural Arts, Political Party. And I am the co-founder of that, along with my partner, Michael Banner. Right now, BRAP is really like gearing up to start kind of falling into this election season, you know, election, the primaries is, not the primaries, I'm still learning about these little words, but in November, basically, like, that's the actual election of our local government, and the district attorney here, we call him Jim Cronill. He has been in this position for about 20-something years unopposed, which means that he basically hasn't been challenged since the time he has, like, been elected in this seat. He now has someone running against him, and, you know, we're trying to really put pressure. And we're not just going to provide pressure to Jim Cronill. It's going to be any official. We're going to say that now. Like, I'm going to say that now. Any official trying to, you know, assume the position of the DA or any other position for that matter really is still going to have to be held accountable, because, you know, these type of people are in positions that could make or break somebody. You know what I'm saying? And if they don't receive pressure, or they don't see them, they don't feel them eyes on them, or them swords to their neck, then they're going to continue to do whatever they want to do. Of course, we still got to learn how to build on our side, but we have to really build, destroy. Like, that's what today's mathematics is, build, destroy. Like, we have to destroy while we're building. So Jim Cronill needs to get out of office, and we are going to do whatever we can to make sure that it's going to go down this year.
Okay.
We also just got through doing a project where we rounded up some people to take pictures of environmental concerns, like what was an environmental injustice or environmental justice to them from what pictures that they took. So that was very interesting to get together and really dissect the pictures and, you know, the persons around them. So it was a nice build.
All right. Okay. I got you. Okay. That's good. You know what happened to me on last week, my little issue, my medical issue. Me, you know, I had told you I wanted us to talk about, you know, plant-based and more vegan and, you know, vegetarian eating. You know, I know you say, you know, how people so serious about it. I was like, no, I just want us to discuss it because I feel like that's the way we need to go. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm telling
right.
you, I did not understand that food and what you intake into your body has such an effect on your physical well-being and what goes on with your body. You know what I'm saying?
That's true.
You
don't even
think
That's
about
true.
It. So, you know, but I do want you to, you know, elaborate on what you, you know, how you, you know, responded to me, because, like I said, I'm not serious about it, but I'm trying to be that way because I understand and I know this, but it's an addiction almost. It is an addiction, you know what I'm saying? So how are your thoughts
true.
On being more, you know, more healthier and moving toward more healthier choices and not eating different things like that?
Okay, now, I'm glad we're talking about this because, you know, when I was texting you back, I was like, I don't know.
Because
I'm not, and let me clarify to everybody, I do not classify myself as vegan because I'm going to answer my sis question. For me, sis, you know, when I had started doing research, now this was like when I was getting extremely conscious and knowledge thirsty when, like in 2016, 2017. And, you know, when I started learning about, you know, me and, you know, I'm hearing different things and I'm like, okay, and I'm researching different things. I'm like, okay, parasites. Yeah, like I don't want that in my body. On top of that, I do understand the more technology evolves, the more manipulative the food industry gets, you know what I'm saying? Like, they will brand something as vegan or something like, you know, whatever, fresh cow meat or, you know, and we know that these things are pumped with chemicals. So I feel like for that reason, it is, like, it's extremely, like, important that we do kind of draw away from those, you know, like, you know, the stuff that we know that's pumped with chemicals and stuff. Like, we have to have some level of discipline for it, even though we're not going to be super strict. Like, come on now. We've been eating bad for, like, the last 20 years, 20, 30-something years. We're not going to just switch like that.
Yeah. Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just going to take – I'm not saying it's impossible, but it all comes down to discipline because at first – when I started psyching myself out with the stuff, I'm like, okay, I'm about to throw my whole damn kitchen out. Like, I'm talking about, I really was feeling like that because I'm like, I'm about to start over and all that. Then I started realizing, damn, okay, this shit expensive. To eat healthy, this shit is expensive. Like,
yeah.
So that pumped my brakes. Then I began to get real, like, you know, I fell back into a routine. Then I did the hot dog stand at Herb's Bargains, as I was telling you about, you know, the relevance of herbs, doing the hot dog stand with my sis, Kiana. And I started meeting up with my partner, Michael Banner. You know, we was, like, kicking it real hard, and he had been off of meat for almost 20-something years. So he had cooked something simple one night. And it was literally like some potatoes, onions, green beans, like in a cast iron skillet. And when I tell you I ate that shit up so quick, I'm like, oh, wow. You know what I'm saying? I'm full.
Yeah.
So that moment when I was like, I'm full, like I got very encouraged to really be like, okay, this is not as hard as I have been making it seem like. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm making it seem like I got to do this. I don't know. Like, I was really psyching myself out. But at that point, I had got extremely encouraged, and I had started throwing recipes together. Veggie spaghetti was, like, my number one favorite. Like, that's what I started with. Like, he got tired of me cooking and shit. But I was like, it helped me, you know, it helped me with my confidence in cooking.
Yep. And you're going to cook what you like and what you can cook the best, so shoot. Especially starting
out
something
new. The food at the same time. Like, when you grow the food, you can go out into the yard. Like, when I can go out into the yard and get my food and look at it and, you know what I'm saying, cut it up.
Well,
and you know,
too?
The way to cut it up. Huh?
I said, you grow your own food as well?
Yes, now I'm getting there. And I be helping Michael a lot, too. Like, it's real interesting because now my grandparents has always grew food. They're from Montgomery County in North Carolina. And mm-hmm. I did spend a lot of time down there, but it was in a rural area. It's like an hour away from Winston. So I didn't get to, you know, be as hands-on as I wanted to. So being when I got around him, it was like a resurgence. Like, okay, like, yeah, but we within the city doing it. So that it just added way more value to everything. So I'm growing chamomile now, but we do got a lot of stuff popping off in the yard.
Okay, that's what's up. That's good. Do y'all sell it or is it just you all?
Well, now it's gonna be a mix of things. It's gonna be a mix of it. Of selling, okay. It's gonna be demoing.
Yeah,
what you say, sis?
I say, go ahead. Yeah, I got you.
Yeah, because in actuality, the whole message of all of it is being self-sufficient and self-reliant, you know, encouraging yourself to grow. Like, you know what I'm saying? Get in your yard and grow your own food because one person can't just have a community garden for everybody to come to. Like, if shit goes sour... Yeah. And I'm not trying to make it seem like some conspiracy or something. You know what I'm saying? But when people panic, they're going to go to where they know there's food. And if they'll feel a lot better about it if they know it's in their front yard and they ain't got to panic and run around like a damn chicken with their head cut off.
Exactly. I say I agree with you on that. I agree. I mean, just like you were saying, you know, our elders and our ancestors, they ate, you know, same things we ate. They ate the pork and different things, but the difference in them and us is they was out there sweat. They was out there working. How are we going to get us
right
back to at these, you know, our children behind these computers, they lazy. How are we going to get that movement back into our lives and different things? Because I see you stay very active. You are an active mother. You take your babies to the park and different things like that. So talk about that a little bit for us.
I really feel like in everything, like when it comes like to what I said earlier about culture destabilization and where we're at right now, what they projected, the one thing that's going to liven up people is, first of all, knowledge of self. And a lot of people gonna listen to that and think it's a religion or something, you know what I'm saying? But knowledge of self is really just awareness of who you are and where you come from, like who your ancestors are, like, you know what I'm saying, like who we are as people and what we've always shown, not who they tell us we are. So value restoration is something that I push very heavily in the community, because value restoration is it's also tied to my bookstore as well. This is how, you know, I reach people. Because our community has been through so many detrimental changes that it's caused the value and the structure in our families to gradually, you know, deplete over time. You got institutional racism, systemic poverty, crime, poor air quality, you know what I'm saying? All type of environmental hazards, you know, it can cause for a community to depreciate in value. So if you can see homes, if homes can depreciate in value, then imagine what internally that does to the people when they have to look at this stuff every day. You know what I'm saying? So it's about really like pulling them gifts out of our own people, you know, listening to people that really don't, you know, come across people that actually listen to them, you know, looking at people in the eye, you know what I'm saying? Like even, and I'm not trying to be, you know, negative about it, like, because that's not the only thing I see in East Winston, but the reality of it is there is a lot of, you know, smokers that walk up and down the street. You see a lot of stuff up and down the street. You see prostitutes sometimes. You see the children playing in yards. You know what I'm saying? But at the end of the day, sometimes you don't see those people. You don't see those people that smoke crack or drink all damn day. You walk right past them because you're tired of them asking you for change. But sometimes Now, I ain't going to damn just give you my change all the damn time now. Like, you got to be real with people, but you got to also look them in the eye. You know what I'm saying? Like, acknowledging them will really make the world a difference.
Yep, and really know if they need it, because, like, sometimes I be like, hey, I ain't going to give you my money, but if you really hungry, I'll buy you something to eat. So if you really hungry, you go get you something to eat. Go get you a sandwich and some drink and chips and everything, and I'm a bad fuck. But I ain't going to just give you my heart.
Right.
I earn money. This money is hard to come by. It ain't nothing to be playing with. So if you hungry, I'm going to buy you something, because you're not going to take my money and mess it off. I can do that myself.
That, now, you know what? And I've, like, a part of value restoration as well, and I'm glad you bring that up, because this is something that I can really use as a perspective, because I know sometimes when I give my, when I give a dollar or some change to somebody, and, you know, I know they come, sometimes they come in a soft store. Sometimes they be straight up, like, I need a beer. Sometimes I really give it to them, not because I'm, like, enabling them, but because sometimes they need to see that you're willing to do that. But sometimes when they come back to you because they think that you just a pushover, you know what I'm saying? You be like, all right, now the other day it was this. You told me this other. That's how I be talking to them. Like, okay, you told me your mama died last week. Now you telling me your daddy died. Oh, for real? Come on now.
Yeah.
Something sound a little fishy, bro. Here, man.
Yeah.
Take this quarter. Don't ask me for nothing tomorrow. For real.
Yeah.
Don't ask me.
I guess.
People have really turned their whole attitude around from a little simple shit like that. I'd be amazed.
Yep, exactly. But, you know, I'd be looking at it like, dude, I have my corns too. I might want wine. Shit. We don't let them get them one fuck. You know what I'm saying? So, I ain't got time to play. If you hungry, I'm going to feed you. But, hey, I can drink my own money. I will do, you know, I can mess off my own money. I can just say this. You know what I'm saying?
Right, I hear you.
And I see how you are such a good mom. Like I said, you are so nurturing and loving to your babies. Where did you get that unconditional love like that from? Because I tell you, sometimes it's hard to know how to love your babies when you haven't been loved right. You know what I'm saying? So where you get that from?
Sis, I got to be straight up. I had to learn that from my experience of not, like, really receiving a lot of affection. You know what I'm saying? Like, now I have, you know, it ain't just been super hardcore and not affectionate, but, like, I mean, for the most part, it was unusual. And I grew up very angry a lot of times, and I was also, I was always bubbly and stuff, but, like, you know, I was an angry person internally as well, and I had to say that, you know, when I have a daughter, because I used to be scared to have a daughter, I used to be scared, because I'm like, I don't know if I'm going to be a good mama. You know what I'm saying? Am I going to love her? You know, like you just said, I had to really be straight up. I had to really start confronting my generational traumas that, you know what I'm saying, nobody else was willing to talk about in my family. So the way I had the relationship I have with my children right now is from me seeing what I can do to just not to cast blame, but just to, you know, do things different. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Just have different results.
Exactly, because I can feel y'all niggas, because, like, I have a 23-year-old son, and then I have a 15-year-old daughter, so there's two different, times in my life, you know what I'm saying? I've grown up from when I had him as a baby, so I'm going to do a whole lot of things different because I have learned and healed, you know what I'm saying? So, but they feel hurt because, hey, you didn't do it, but, hey, I didn't know me. So I had to think,
exactly,
man, too. I was angry at my mama for a long time because I felt like you lied to me and you had me growing up like a damn fool, and I had to find out when I reported the damn truth. You know what I'm saying? So when did you learn the truth about this world and this matrix, you know, this fuckery, you feel me? because I was always in church. I was all hallelujah, hallelujah, all that shit every Sunday. Thought I was just the worst person because I wasn't holy and sanctified, you know. So tell me, when did you gain your awareness?
It was actually, honestly, it was around the time I was, like, pregnant with my daughter, Zadie. Like, I had just started becoming more, like, when I got pregnant with my daughter, I had really started looking at everything I was going through and everything that, you know, just I had not even tapped into within myself, you know, and things I was hearing. Like, it had just started becoming, like, I mean, it was amazing how it happened because you know how sometimes you come across angels, you know what I'm saying? You ain't met people before and they can just say something to you that day that just really have you thinking, you know, open your mind a little more and they don't even know it. You know what I'm saying? Like, and that's what was going on around that time. Like, I was asking questions about, you know, my family and, you know, I was getting ostracized a lot, and I was being a rebel rouser. You know what I'm saying? So I started learning a lot about myself. So when I started learning a lot more about myself, it was like the portal within me opened to receive things I probably just had already seen, but just couldn't, you know, dissect it, just couldn't understand it. But that was around 2015, 2016. 2017 is when, like, stuff really started changing in my life, like, when I quit my job and stuff, and, you know, I really started tapping in, like, I started sacrificing a lot of things, you know, that I wouldn't recommend, but, yeah, it got real, real in 2017 now.
Okay, I feel you, because I know I had a time in my life where I had to sit down for a couple of years and just, you know, just sit it down because, I had to heal. I'm going through a healing process and didn't even understand it. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I always Formidable Daughters Association. Tell us what's going on with our sisters and my nieces, what's going on. Give me some updates with them, with FDA.
To be honest, it's like I haven't really, like, been too active in FDA. Like, I try my best to stay aware, like I be trying to say, like, but a lot of times, like, when I say genuinely, like, I be, like, super busy. Like, I be super busy. Like, I have to really force myself to, like, slow down. Like, it ain't too much I can handle, but it's just, you know, I can't be everywhere right now. Like, I know it will improve, but it's just a lot going on right now in Winston, especially with the politics. It's like, it's a lot. So the strategy is kind of like on point right now.
Yeah, that was my next question. What's going on with the in your civic engagement work? You know, what are the next things that are coming up in your communities? And tell us about, you know, different, or, you know, if you have any camps going on, how to get in touch with you and different things, because I'm going to get ready to open up the lines and let them ask a question or comment or whatever, and then we're going to get you a call in, because, like I said, this has been a great show, as always, because I want to make sure that I keep up with you all. Make sure I know what is going on in your areas, because I see the work that you all are doing. Y'all are doing some fantastic nation building. So we need to be connected. And like I said, you know, we're coming to South Carolina at this end of this month, July 22nd through the 24th, the PGRNA. So I hope you are able to come. I did get that address and everything, so I'm going to send you that information so that y'all can, you know where we at. So, like I said,
absolutely.
More about what's about to come up, you know, in that your engagement work and everything.
Yes, well, right now, I think right now we kind of just brewing right now for the November elections, because we're gonna because we're gonna hold some campaigns and you know, start pumping out some propaganda
in our community as far as just, well, for one thing, Asiatic Artifacts, I'm definitely going to be doing workshops with the think tanks in order to start challenging, you know, challenging how we think out here and being able to implement that into some sort of action. But it's really just a provoking that.
Let me ask you this right quick, and I know you're going to do something with the babies because I see you grooming your baby girl.
Oh, yeah, right. She's going to actually be helping me as well inside of there, too. She just told me, like, last week, Mommy, I want to help you with the bookstore. And I was like, okay. Because I really had built – that's one thing I miss about being at Herbs with the bookstore, because all the children was more so around there playing. I had really established a lot of relationships with some of them children through the books up there. But they still up there. I just that's really good to keep that in mind, though.
Yeah.
Circle back around to them.
Yeah. So go ahead and tell us how to do
that. I didn't answer. Hold on. I didn't even answer about FDA, though, sis. Like, shout out to my sis Meech, though. Shout out to sis.
Always,
because seriously, like, FDA really has been holding it down as far as everybody with their own crafts and gifts and personalities and magic. I mean, I really appreciate the, even though I'm not active in FDA like that, I do appreciate the camaraderie of the women in there. Like, I appreciate them so much, everybody, especially my sis Meek. She say I'm one of the founding members, but I don't really give myself that credit. Like, I give it all to her, to be honest. Like, I give it all to sis.
Yeah, exactly. And like I said, I love you all. That's a sisterhood I know that I have for life, you know what I'm saying? So I understand what you are talking about, because no matter how long we have been apart, whatever, we come back together, it's still on, you know what I'm saying? And like I said, we're going to have to stop meeting up more often, you know what I'm talking about? So I'm going
that's true.
First line. And see if they want to ask a comment. The area code is 434, first three digits, 774. Do you want to add a comment or ask a question? Introduce yourself and come on in.
What's up? You already know. AKA Meech. Yes, I want to send up. I want to say Black Power to, you know, all the listeners, to our host. I want to send respect and salute to the Republic of New Africa and all the members responsible for this work. I want to say shout out to my tribe, SGA, Formidable Daughters Association. Respect to all of y'all. And I want to thank you, General, for being our Black Revolutionary Correspondent. You know, it's important to get the word out here and talk to our people. We don't really have reliable media platforms, you know, so we appreciate what you do. And let me get this little bit of housekeeping out. Sister Annika, we all understand that what you are doing in our community, because, you know, I'm from East Winston. We grew up in the same neighborhood. So the island is near and dear to me. But I want to say this, you know, you are always in our thoughts, always in our positive spoken affirmations. And one of the things that, you know, we kind of have to realize in our emotional awareness, just because I don't talk to you every day, that does not mean that the camaraderie and the sisterhood is not there. Because, you know, if I have to come to Tennessee or North Carolina, I knock all that shit over. You already know. That's very true. Phone call, okay? So shout out to you, sis. You know, we consider you our media assassin, because you get out there and you do what you got to do, you know, and our journalists of the tribe. You know, we reading your articles and LinkedIn, we sharing. So it's about, you know, about the support. And I want to send a shout out to Brother Banner. Brat, brat, brat. You already know how that goes. The work and everything that they're doing in the community. Annika is just, she is such empowerment to our community. She's been a lot of empowerment to me too. And the biggest thing about Annika is her teaching and the rapport that she has with community. You know, her compassion, she just has so much grace, you know, for the folks that are in our community that need that grace because of the oppression and addictions that go on. And the other thing I can say about mm-hmm. Annika is definitely her attitude reflects her altitude. You can see it in her kids. You know, I've been with her son, Zabali, since he was in the womb. So, you know, just watching them, checking on the community, building and teaching about health and community gardens. You know, she goes in with no fear. And when I was living in North Carolina, we went into fear together. You know, we know you got to be willing to die for this, just like our Egon and our ancestors did. So I just want to say I was honored to work shoulder to shoulder. I'm still honored to work shoulder to shoulder with her, assisting in healing, because we check each other. You hear me? We check each other, you know? And that's what we got to have as far as accountability and awareness. So, sis, I love you. Black power.
I'll
keep fighting the good fight, as Gammy would say. And I love you, boo.
I love you, too. That really touched me. I say. That touched me right there.
All right, I'm going to open up the next line. This is our mother queen, our mother queen, our vice president of the Republic of New Africa. Come on in, Mama Ayo. How you doing today? Thank you for joining us.
Yes, greetings. Greetings, Queen, Sister Annika. Happy to meet you and to you know, really feel what you're doing. I have seen and heard your heart. I am very, very honored to meet you, even though it's over the airways and the byways. But I know that
likewise,
wherever we are, thank you, wherever we are, sister, you know, just build and grow and remember that it's for the redemption of the race. So, I love that you have taken on the charge, because these are the mighty times, mighty, mighty, mighty times. One of the things I want to ask you, sister, is I heard what you said about trying to dismantle some of the politicians. And one of the things that we have faced is that many of us are the majority in a few places. We our vote count. But what we have faced, especially here in the South, is that we have people that look like us that are not for us. And that is critical, that we have to step, make sure these politicians understand you are a representative for everybody, but that everybody better start with self, the people that look like you and I, because you know our journey and you know your purpose, the reason why we put you there. And so let them know that that comes with consequences if you fail in your mission, because we're putting you somewhere. And that's what we're trying instill. You know, and let the people know if you can't represent us, you're not going to be there. And we're going to hold you accountable. And we're going to hold you accountable because we're going to have them back door and back street conversations with you. Because this is not that time. This time is right now.
Right now.
If we put you somewhere, you have a mission and a purpose. Don't you get there and you get corrupted and turned around and turned about and become a palm or whatever you want to call it. Don't do that. Don't do that.
That's right. I felt that.
So I'm really happy that you are taking on that initiative with the other sisters and brothers. And, you know, I'm sending you love. I'm sending you anointings. I'm sending you everything to help us complete our mission and purpose.
I say, sis, I truly felt that. And it's so prevalent. Like, we do understand that, because I know it's happening, like, everywhere, like, with these local, you know, local politicians. Like, they just become very disconnected for themselves. And they think because either they're Democrat and Black or, you know, privileged, you know, like, that they can't be touched. But that's where it's on us to really, like, politically, like, educate because a lot of people be kind of like getting pulled around with the imagery of it. Like, oh yes, we did this over here. Let's clap and, you know, the standing ovations. But when real shit pop off, like, these politicians don't be knowing what to do. Don't be knowing what to do. And don't nobody hold them accountable because they, some people in their back pockets.
And we
like,
time and time again. And that's why we are seeing what you call a depreciation in the culture, depreciation in knowing that what you hold, you keep, you build, you protect it, you keep it clean, because if you're saying that this is what we claim to be ours, you better act like you know how to govern yourself, how to behave, how to love on one another, love yourself so you can love others. So it's all of the things that you're speaking about. I hear it. You know it. You've been charged a long time.
Oh, yes, dude.
Yeah, happy.
I appreciate you for speaking. Thank you. It's nice to meet you.
Good luck.
I say. Sister Nietzsche, I want you to tell us what you were talking about last night with the politician that's in your area. What's going on with that? And so that you can get some support on that as well.
Well, you know, here in Virginia, we got a lot of good old boys. This is literally, you know, the stopping point from the south to the north. The last time I visited with some brothers and sisters that have a natural a shop where they sell herbs, candles, you know, everything that you would need for your spirituality. We talked about there's a well listed within a well around that graveyard where there were hundreds of bones dumped. And when they went back in and checked the DNA, you know, they were people who actually were slaves. Some of the bones were sent to Florida to try to have some, you know, some type of DNA to trace back. Nothing can be found. So what they did was put up a monument for those people, you know, in respect to our Egungs. And in our tradition of Lukumi, we say a bye-bye to our Egung, which are the people who are directly related to us, like our parents, our grandparents, that type of thing. So what I'm finding is spirituality is waking up in our area. I am actually a tutor in the Brunswick County school system. So, you know, just as we have to do sometimes we got to infiltrate them like they infiltrate us. And the thing that I found is have a lot of positive feminine role models. So I was able to come in, transform, you know, getting the students to be emotionally aware, talk with them about some of the disparities that are going on in the home, and also focus on minor things in spirituality, like meditation. When I had them in gym, I had them sitting down, thinking about themselves, you know, giving them affirmations for a positive day. So, you know, I'm working, and we're going to get it done. It's always in my head that the children of the sun will rise, and we will have our own nation. And as, you know, as the queen said, it's not going to be any foolishness, because you will have the chance to be accountable, be aware, acknowledge, and accept the things that need to be changed in our community by any means necessary. As I honor our great ancestor, Malcolm X, it has to be done, and the work is now.
That's confirmation and affirmation, because Madam President, Madam Vice President, she's an educator as well. You see what I'm saying? So it's all a full circle. You feel me? So I want you all to give me a closing together. Sister Annika, you're going to go last. I'm going to let you come on out, Sister Michi. Tell us how to get in touch with you. Give us a closing for the people. And like I said, thank you for joining us. This has been a great show. I love all of you all.
Yeah.
All of you all. And as always, it's so good to, you know, to have this building session, because we have to keep these lines of communication open and keep making these connections. Like I said, this is Madam Vice President of the Republic of New Africa. And we want to get these connections. That's why I'm inviting both of you all to South Carolina July the 22nd through the
24th.
And Mama, doing your closing, Mama, I want you to give us all the updates on, you know, the face-to-face and different things. You're going to come out to Sister Meechie. So go ahead, Sister Meechie, and give us a closing.
Okay, I just want to say, as the elder mother of the Formidable Daughters Association, we understand that the word formidable means worthy opponent. And within that factor, we are the original mothers of the earth. So it is up to us to start that heal of the land. You know, we encourage our brothers, our kings, our gods to get in there and be the leaders, because they are the leaders. And we need this more in our community. So I can be reached at One Magic Supernatural on IG or Eyoba Soul Rebel Ray on Facebook. And again, you know, I am excited about all of the movements. I'm excited about the camaraderie. Our nation is on the way, and I'm ready. I am ready. And thank you for allowing me to speak and come in general.
Always, always. Go ahead, Mama. Go ahead, Mama. Yeah. Hold on just a second. Can you hear me, Mama? Yeah. I'm going to let you go ahead, Sister Annika, and then if she comes back in, I'll let her finish. But I want you to go ahead and give us a call. Let us know how to get in touch with you. Is that you, Mama? Yeah. Okay, go ahead. Okay, go ahead, Sister Annika.
I just want to give extreme praises to everyone for really allowing me to share and really hold space to be able to really dig a little deeper and, you know, keep connecting with one another, keeping them heartstrings plucked. But I can be reached on Facebook. My name is spelled A-N-A-K-H-A. And then my last name is A-N-E-T, Annika Annette. On Instagram and Facebook. So we connect there. And I mean, this has just been an amazing time, really building with y'all as always.
I say. Does Asiatic Artifacts have a Facebook page or contact information?
Yes. Asiatic Artifacts. Artifacts has an X instead of an S at the end.
Okay.
And AnnikaAnnette at gmail.com as well.
I say, okay, we got you. We got you. Thank you all for joining us again. Mama Ayo, are you able to connect yet? Hello, Mama. Hello, Mama Ayo. Okay, I'm not sure what happened to her line. I know she's traveling right now, so we do appreciate her chiming in. Like I said, this has been a great build. I love you all. As always, peace and power. I'm going to have to get you on the show next, Sister Ioba. Meet you, because we got to get these. Like I said, I want everybody to come on through and get the cycle through so we can promote each other. Our economics and our economics together and start supporting each other. So as usual,
absolutely,
I want to thank everybody for joining us. As you always, y'all can support us, the Truth and Power Corner at $ Vanguards Academy. As always, we appreciate you all. Peace and Black Power. Much love. Have a great evening. We love you all. Thank you all for joining us.
Sandra Bland, Trayvon Martin, Michael Brown, Alton Sterling. God knows how many more you didn't kill. But I'm gonna let you know right now, we done marching. We done protesting. This is war.
fist in the air, reaching for power. Black power. Stepping my people to chill in that hour. I'm gonna struggle, not giving my pants. Standing on gas, dressed up in black, with a patch on my chest. Looks like I'm tripping and sitting up straight, cause all I be dropping is knowledge. I speak for life, you will have a problem, you drop on my time to college. Taking dimensions, I'm so like the man, as I move through this life, university. I'm not about to drink, I never regret it, it's twisted if you suck on my money. I wish I'd have, I'm living the truth. Give me for nothing, I'll see you some proof. Cause I'm dealing with the death and the fact of this person is killing our youth. Who don't wake up and make a decision, but changing my mental, my focus, I'm physical, so we can stop in the murder with different instead of the tale. So pump on my wisdom, the violence, I wanna be out of the car, if he blasts with the fact that they kill us. My time to come when we are fitted, it's like they were brought up to store. And forget that they tell us their strategy. We're losing rid of my people, no time. I want them to fix it with time to go get it. You wanted to battle, we'll get it, we'll see it. Come up to the front line, it's time to go get it. Jump, 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 jump. Fist in the air, reaching for power. Black power. Step on my people, they're putting that power. Jump. I'm gonna struggle like it on my bed. Got it on bed, just in the back. With a path on my chest. Fist in the air, reaching for power. Black power. Stepping my people to chill in that hour. I'm gonna struggle not giving my best. Standing up dead, dressed up in with a patch on my chest. The devil is moving the past. Killing up all of our future, so somebody is why we keep giving the past. When it's ruined, it with no conscience. The end is just for killing our brothers and sisters and fathers and making the future divided. Instead of taking a head in his body and tearing it hard to fight. I'm sick of oppression, I'm sick of destruction. Homie, I'm sick of the lies. Sick of this crooked as crap, it's right. Rather than taking the lies. We need to do something that's better than nothing. Spreading is better than near. Competing is better than taking the devil's for peace. Man, I take it and give him the fear. It's time to rise tonight. Homie, it's time to get it right. Cause when we don't, we won't. It gives our life a goal for day to night. Get us on track. Get back online and just focus. Before my people stop running. But the devil's just not trying to be their equal.